Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Well, we're going to go straight into God's Word this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we started a series entitled The Blood of Sacrifice. And this series is very close to my heart because of a number of things I'm even going to share this morning. I really believe that this is one of the key things that are missing in the body of Christ today. And if we could bring this piece of the puzzle, I'm truly sure that you will see greater manifestation of God's glory and power in our lives. Amen? Amen. So the first week, just to give you a bit of recap, the first week we spoke about five reasons why you should plead the blood of Jesus continuously. And I want to remind you that pleading the blood of Jesus should not be a weekly thing, a monthly thing, a yearly thing. It's a minute thing. It's like continually. Hallelujah. Because that is our weapon of victory. Revelation 12 verse 11, the Bible says, and they overcame him. Not and they tried to overcome him. And it was a done deal. It was a fact. He was overcome by them. Not him overcoming them. Because what we always hear is he overcame them. He deceived them. Started with our ancestors. Deceived them, tricked them, destroyed them. And from there he realized that he could really deal with us. That God sent us help. Hallelujah. In the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, and through Jesus, we started overcoming again. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, they overcame him. You shall overcome. You need to have that mindset that when you are facing the enemy, you shouldn't expect you will be defeated. From today, start expecting to overcome him. Start expecting to defeat him. Because the Bible says, how did they overcome? The weapons are clearly stated. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Praise the Lord. Now I want to start right here as I'm doing my little recap to tell you that in this piece of scripture, God gave the three weapons that are used to overcome the enemy. They are clearly stated. And if you and I will experience victory over him, we better visit these three weapons. The first weapon is the blood of the Lamb. That's the first weapon that we use to overcome the enemy. We don't use our wisdom. We don't use our degrees. We don't use our opinion. We don't even use our prayers at the beginning. The first thing that brings your enemy to his knees is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. This is very, very important. You need to understand why the blood of Jesus is such a big deal to Satan. Hallelujah. Because, you see, if you remember well, the first man to commit murder was Cain. And when Cain killed his brother Abel, you will recall that it was just the two of them. Nobody was there to witness it. Yet God started calling out to Cain and asking him, where is your brother Abel? Then Cain answered back and said, am I my brother's keeper? And then God says to him, don't speak lies. Now, he said something very powerful. The blood of your brother is calling out to me. Not the corpse, the blood. What made God aware that something went wrong was the blood. So as soon as that murder was committed, the blood that was received by the soil started communicating to God. Now, Abel was already dead, but his blood was still speaking. His blood was still communicating. If you read your Bible, the Bible says that if the prince of this world had known what was coming, they were not going to sacrifice the King of Glory. So we know from scriptures that Jesus was not murdered only by the Jewish leaders. Actually, the person that was behind all that thing was Satan himself. Satan murdered Jesus. And you see, that was something that was planned that way. God wanted Satan to kill his son so that the blood of his son will continuously torment and torture the person who committed the murder. Because the blood always hunts the murderer. The blood of Abel hunted Cain, so the blood of Jesus is forever hunting Satan. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This is so important. Now, if you don't understand this, you will try to use other things. The main thing that brings your enemy to his knees is that blood. Because that blood was pure. Hallelujah. Now, how do we activate the blood of Jesus? Hebrews 12 verse 24 says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So how do you get the blood of Jesus working? The scripture says, the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling that speaks. So until the blood is sprinkled, it doesn't speak. So that's why we have to continuously sprinkle it, plead it. So as you keep pleading it, it keeps speaking. You plead it, it speaks. You plead it, it speaks. You plead it over a situation, it will speak. You sprinkle it. So the blood of sprinkling, not just the blood of sprinkling. So you have to sprinkle it. That's how you activate the power that is in the blood of Jesus. You can't just think the blood of Jesus. You have to actually use it by pleading it and directing it where you feel it needs to go and work for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then we also see the second weapon the Bible speaks of, the word of their testimony. So the first weapon is the blood of the Lamb. Then he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, number one. Number two, by the word of their testimony. These are not common weapons that we use. These are not things that we even refer to in our daily fights. No wonder we don't experience victory. I really hope that you will take this message seriously and see what are the recommended weapons given us by God. What are the recommended weapons? And have we been using them? So why we talk about the word of testimony is because in the book of 1 John 5 verse 6, I like using the word of God to help us understand my points. The Bible says, this is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. So you see here that Jesus did not only come by water. He came by water and by blood. Now, so they told you that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So you too cannot only overcome by the blood. So you need to use something else because Jesus came by water and blood. So you are given the blood. Then the second thing you are given, the word of testimony. So you are given also now the word, because the two have to go together. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Psalm 119 verse 98, the Bible says, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your testimonies are my meditation. They overcame by the word of their testimony. Now, what are God's testimonies that were David's meditation? The word of God, the statutes, the scriptures. David used to meditate on the scriptures, and as he's meditating on the scriptures, he sees the testimony, meaning what God has done. And he sees it written down. This is what I hear he did. This is what I see he did. So he meditates on that. Hallelujah. Now, we are told that, you see, meditating on the testimonies is great, but that is not what releases the power. The power is released when you speak the testimony. So it's the word of your testimony. So when you meditate on the testimony and you start speaking what you are meditating, or your revelation from your meditation, it is what brings the power. So you have the blood of the Lamb, and you have the word of your testimony, which is a result of your meditation, but you didn't just leave it in the mind. Whatever God shows you when you were reading, when you were listening, when you were praying, that thing, you start speaking into the situation. That is how your victory is established. What else is the word of testimony? We learn from the book of Revelation 19 verse 10. The Bible says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Somebody say amen. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the first aspect of the word of prophecy or the word of testimony is that you meditate on the word of God and you speak what you are meditating. You speak what you believe. That is how you release the power to defeat your enemy. At that moment, that is what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 6, that the word becomes a sword. The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So the word becomes a sword because you got revelation and you also spoke it. When you speak what was revealed to you by God through the Spirit, it becomes a sword. It starts cutting things. That's why you can't just, I mean, to some degree you can just take the Bible and start quoting scripture. There's a power in that. But there's more power. The double-edged sword is when you spend time in a scripture and God reveals his mind to you from that scripture. Yet the word of testimony is also what the Bible says in Revelation 9 verse 10, the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? You see, when God has done something for you, and you take a microphone or you stand before people, and you say, "I was a drunkard, but I cried to God and he set me free. Today I am free." So you give a testimony. You stand before people and you give a testimony of what God has done for you. The Bible says that testimony becomes a prophecy. In other words, because you stood before us and you said, "God did this, God did this," you are not just saying what he did, you are also prophesying what he's going to be doing for you from that moment going forward. And this is, if I can help you, this is why a lot of people don't overcome the enemy. Because God does something for them and they keep it in their hearts. They don't confess. They don't testify. And because they don't testify, what they overcame comes and overcomes them again. Your testimony is a weapon. It is a weapon for future battles. When you come and stand here, you say, "You know, I was this. God delivered me." By you saying that, you have prophesied. You have prophesied. From that moment, you are empowered to overcome in that area continuously because you have used the word of your prophecy. You have used the word of your prophecy. Furthermore, those listening to you could be going through what you went through and using just your testimony, they too can start overcoming the enemy, because the enemy is usually telling them, oh no, you will never come out of this, you will never overcome this. When they hear that you went through something similar and God delivered you, they tap into that testimony and it becomes their prophecy. So they also start experiencing the same victory that you experience. The word of testimony. The word of testimony. I want to encourage everybody watching this morning. Stop hiding the good things God has done for you. Don't say, no, I'm not sure. Maybe if I go and talk now, maybe I will be tempted. That's the point. The point is that if you don't come and testify, you will be tempted. And Satan will say, anyway, who knew that you overcame? So you can go right back where you were. But when you come and stand on stage and you shame the devil before everybody, even you have a moral commitment to say, no, because I have spoken what I spoke, I need to trust God to sustain me. I need to trust God to sustain me. I really trust that a lot of us will rise up and start giving testimonies every Sunday. Stand before the church. Take a microphone. If there's no microphone, just stand there. Say, I was a thief. Jesus set me free. I was a robber. Jesus delivered me. I was suffering with sexual sin. Jesus delivered me. Don't be ashamed. You see, let me tell you something. You are not ashamed of the sin. The sin is not your property. Stand publicly and give it to the owner. Don't hide it as if it is yours. That bad thing that Satan is saying, no, you can't stand and talk about this. It is not for your benefit. He wants to keep the thing inside of you so that he can always come back and check it. You should reject it by giving it back to him. That is how we use the word of testimony to defeat the enemy. So that's the second weapon. To defeat your enemy, you got to use the blood of Jesus. To defeat your enemy, you got to use the word of your testimony. You got to learn to speak. You can't be quiet. A believer that will defeat the enemy is not a quiet believer. He's not a believer with his mouth shut. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The redeemed of the Lord must speak through prayer, through prophecy, through praise. You should always be communicating with your mouth. That's what brings victory. These believers that are forever quiet. I don't want to say anything. I don't want the devil to bother me. So you are the one that he comes for. If you've watched National Geography Channel, the lion usually goes for those ones that are quiet, timid, sheepish. They are the ones he feels that, no, this is my lunch. This is my lunch. The ones that are active, he will think twice before he goes for them. So as you are just there, you never say a word. Jesus took away the lies. You don't say a word. No, if I testify about lies, the sister in the chair will remember that. So he was lying when he said he didn't steal the money. So I will not say that I was lying. You see, that's the problem. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on that. Come and say, I need to overcome through the word of my testimony. So I'm going to give my testimony. I don't care who is watching. I don't care who is hearing me. I'm going to give my testimony and God is going to give me the victory. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. This is how we overcome. And this explains why many believers don't sustain their victories. How often do you see somebody that God delivered from smoking? But because they don't come and testify about that, they are back in smoking. God delivers them from drinking. Because they never come to testify about the drinking, they are back into drinking. God delivers them out of the hand of a strange woman or a strange man. But because they feel shy to come and say, I was in the hands of a strange woman and God has broken the shackles, they keep it to their hearts. And before they realize, they are now in the hands of five strange women that are manipulating them left and right and center. You are receiving your freedom this morning in the name of Jesus. Precious people, let's use the recommended weapons. Don't bring your mind. Use the recommend. I'm not saying you shouldn't use your mind. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that don't think you are wiser than God. What he is recommending is what will work for us. Hallelujah. After all, he is the one who defeated the enemy. So he is the one who knows what works on the enemy. And he's recommending the blood of the lamb. I see you using the blood of the lamb. He's recommending the word of your testimony. Now, some of you, maybe you are shy to come and stand before people, even though it shouldn't be a reason. But why don't you go to somebody you know? Tell them, you know, I want to give you a testimony. I used to be this. Jesus has done this. Why don't you give a testimony to that one person or two people? Why don't you give testimony at yourself? You will see how the power of God will start coming to yourself if you constantly give testimonies there of what the power of God has done in your life. Number three, the Bible says they did not love their lives. It is not possible to defeat the enemy if you love your life. It's not possible. It is not possible to conquer this enemy if your life is still so precious to you. You will not be able to. Now, you see this last one. As if I said to you, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Is it your blood? So you can just take and pour. I pour the blood. I pour the blood. I pour the blood. No problem. Easy. I just plead the blood. I'm pleading the blood there. I'm pleading the blood there. I'm pleading the blood. So you just start pleading everywhere. You just start pleading. And sometimes, you see, it doesn't work. Because you have to add it with the word of your testimony. So by the time he says the word of your testimony, he's already beginning to get to you. So it's no more just the blood of the lamb. So it's now the word of your testimony. So you are now beginning to be part of the solution. Then after the word of your testimony, say now, you shouldn't love your life. Now it's now more deep. To win. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that if Jesus loved himself, like he loved his eyes, he loved his hands, hey, he loved his back, he loved his legs. Do you think that Jesus was going to go through Via Dolorosa, they're beating him, they are shot? Do you think that he was going to overcome the enemy if Jesus loves himself? No, it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. So this is where the rubber hits the road for us, is that for you to truly defeat him, you should be able to choose victory rather than pleasure. And it's not easy to do that, especially depending on how much you love yourself. Hey. They did not love their own lives unto death. So they were ready to die rather than lose. They were ready to die rather than be overcome. You know those people that when he sees you are about to defeat him, he kills himself. Like, I'd rather die than give you the opportunity to say that you defeated me. And there are other people, long before he has fought two rounds, he already said, no, please, you have won, you have won, you have won. Just let me be, allow my children, allow, you've won. What else you want? You've won already. They are already surrendering. They surrender. They give the money. They give the safe. They give the wife. They give the children. They give everybody. No, you've won. You've won. Just take everything. As long as I can live. The sons of Abraham, take my wife. As long as me, you allow me to, you know, sir, just take her. Take her. You want her? Take her. Take her. No problem. Take her. As long as I can stick around. So you, Abraham loved his life initially. That he was able to trade his wife for his life. And I can assure you, the sons of Abraham are all around. Abraham, blessings are mine. Part of it is that we love ourselves. We love ourselves. We haven't said, Abraham problems are mine. No, Abraham blessings are mine. So that it is nice with my soul. Are you with me? So to defeat the enemy, you need to know that another thing that must happen is that you should stop loving yourself too much like that. You can't get hurt. You can't lose anything. You can't suffer anything. You can't sacrifice anything. You can't die in anything. You see that last one? Is what I want to talk about this morning. You see that last one? That's the one we are talking about this month. That last one. That you shouldn't love yourself too much. If you're going to defeat Satan, you should be ready to let go of whatever you have to let go to secure your victory. Whatever it is. And I showed you 2 weeks ago that part of you winning this battle, you have to develop the art of losing certain things. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 10 verse 28, then Peter spoke, we have left everything to follow you. You know what we are saying today? We have kept everything. And we are also keeping you among the everything. We are keeping everything. We are coming for you, but I cannot lose this. I cannot lose this. I keep everything, including you. These people were ready to leave everything to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. So if you love yourself too much, I'm sure you can see you will not leave certain things. You need them. What is the purpose of this series? Number one, to arm ourselves with the right attitude towards difficulties and challenges. I feel that we don't have the right attitude as believers towards problems. Believers only know how to be blessed. They seem to not know how to go through things. We read your Bible say, when I go through the veil of the shadow of death, God will not take away the temptation, but he will let you go through it so that he provide a way of escape. So you see through, you go through, when you go through the veil of the shadow of death, when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, he gives you understanding that there will be times when he will not remove the sorrow, he will not remove the water, he will not remove the fire, he will let you go through it, not to it, but through it. Through it. Now, that will talk of difficulty. That will talk of unpleasant circumstances. But it seems like believers don't know how to handle that. So as soon as things start looking funny, they start feeling something is wrong. Something's got to be wrong. Did I sin? Has God left me? Is something going wrong? What is happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? What is happening? I hope you are still with me. I pray that by the time this series is over, you will stop being so surprised when you go through a difficult time. Like it will not be too surprising to you, because Acts 15:22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. If you and I must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations, it suggests that we will have to enter through more tribulations to make others enter the kingdom of God. That's why earth riches are not easy. That's why gatherings are not easy. Because to get people to enter the kingdom of God, there will be tribulations. There will be problems. So when you start the work of ministry and you start seeing the difficulties that are surrounding it, it's like you are shocked. Ah! No, I didn't expect this thing to be like this. But the Bible is telling you it is through many tribulations that people enter the kingdom of heaven. And you are trying to make people enter the kingdom of heaven. How do you think it will just be so easy? You will go to their houses and they will say they are not coming. You call them, they will not pick up. You will do everything you can, they will still disappoint you. Because we will, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. And it means if we're going to help others enter, there is going to require a lot of tribulations. Not just from their side, even from the person helping them enter.
Are you with me?
So this morning, I want to, with the few minutes I've got left, I just want to help you learn how to deal with pain as a child of God. Like when you get to go through suffering, how do you handle it? I just want to ask you a personal question this morning. When you go through a difficult thing, what do you usually do? There are many ways to handle it. You can start questioning God. You can start feeling you've done something wrong, so you start condemning yourself. You can start blaming other people. You can get depressed. Satan can even inspire you to just end it. Commit suicide. These are all ways people are trying to respond to adversity. It's their way of responding. It's their way of responding to pain. It's their way of responding to suffering. Suicide. Kill yourself. Give up. Come out. Let go. It is a clear indication the person does not know how to handle problems. The person doesn't expect problems. Like, it's for them, it's strange. Why is this thing happening? I mean, it's not supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to feel like this. I'm not supposed to go through this. Oh. Philippians 1 verse 29. The title of my message this morning, why do Christians go through suffering? Why? Why? Why do Christians? And I could say, why do good Christians? Because there are Christians and Christians, right? But why do good ones? If you've been a good one for a while, you even sometimes think that maybe it's like Satan is missing the right people. He's coming for you. Like, you are good, and it is the good ones that usually even, and it is scriptural. The Bible says, whoever wants to live a holy life will be persecuted. But let's come to Philippians 1 verse 29. The Bible says, for it has been granted to you. Tell your neighbor, it is a grant. It's a free gift. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. To suffer for Him. It's a grant. Like it's just a bonus. Not only to believe, if you are a believer of Christ, expect to also be a sufferer of Christ. Like they have to go together. If you believe in Him, expect that at some stage there will also be some suffering for Him. Oh yes. Oh yes. Now I know that some people are going to say, ooh, just like the other time, Pastor was talking about losing. I think I now understand why I'm suffering. Let me quickly balance myself here that you can suffer for other reasons than the ones that I'm going to talk about. Do you understand? In the book of 1 Peter 4, 15 and 16, the Bible says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer. I beg you. Oh, I've never killed. You haven't killed, but have you hated somebody? The Bible says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. So a person who hates doesn't forgive. So what is in the person? Unforgiveness. What is in the person? Bitterness. So this person will suffer not because it is the will of God. They are suffering because of unforgiveness. They are suffering because of bitterness in their heart as a murderer. So there's a suffering that comes to people simply because they don't walk in love. There's a suffering that comes to people simply because they are holding too much to their rights. They can't forgive. They can't let go of anything. He says you shouldn't suffer as a thief. I just want to ask you a question, please. If you go home today, just check everything that is in your house. Were they all legally acquired? You see all those things that are in your house. your bed, under the bed, in the cupboard, on top of the cupboard, everywhere. I'm just asking a personal question. Were all these things legally acquired? Because I agree, you're saying you're not a thief. You're not a thief. You haven't stolen. I mean, what about the tithe? What about the tithe? Oh. Then he asks, he said, God is so clever. He knew he cannot mention everything we are doing. So he wrapped it up. He said, any other criminal act that just... So even if I didn't mention your own, is it any other kind of crime? So he just put it together. Even a meddler. What is a meddler? A meddler is somebody who put his nose in other people's affairs. You are meddling in other people's businesses. You see, so you can be suffering today, and the only reason you are suffering, you are not minding your own business. You are everywhere. You want to know who is the beloved of that one, and the sister of that one, and the cousin of that one, and the neighbor of that one. You are always putting your nose in other people's affairs. That's why you are suffering. Your people are gossiping about you, and you're saying, no, I don't know what people are talking. People are talking about you because you are not minding your business. You are busy with other people's things every day. And you are suffering. Instead of you pushing your education, instead of you pushing your life, you are forever dealing with gossip. You are forever dealing with problems. And you are the cause. You are a murderer. You are a murderer, a murderer, a murderer. This is what is happening to us. So I'm not talking about that suffering this morning, precious people. Please, don't bring the crimes. You put all the crimes, Lord, I thank you for all my suffering. Meanwhile, you know that it is a suffering for putting your nose into other people's business. Refusal to forgive, stealing, even in the church. People are stealing in the church. Not so long ago, somebody stole my food. In the church. They are stealing in the church. They even steal the pastor's food. Not even mercy. You don't even have forgiveness. Not even compassion. That a man has come, preached to you the whole day, and you steal. The only way to reward him is to steal his phone. What a love. What a love. That the only inspiration that you are getting from this Sunday is that pastor's phone is very nice. I must have it for myself. So you go out there now, last pity, you say, no, Lord, I thank you for the suffering. You cannot thank God. You must return. And I thank God this sister returned the phone by 7 p.m. after stealing it. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, however, if you suffer as a Christian, so you can suffer not because you are a thief, you can suffer not because you are a criminal, you can suffer just because you are a Christian. But your only crime here is that you became a Christian. That is your only crime. Giving your heart to Jesus Christ becomes the reason why, whether you do this or you don't, by the mere fact that you are a Christian, you suffer. And that's the suffering I'm talking about. The Bible says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, my brother. Do not think there's something wrong. No. He says, but praise God that you bear that name. Praise God that you are suffering because of Jesus. When you check, you see that there's nothing wrong I've done, yet there's pain. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you a few reasons just to strengthen your faith of things that you should think about every time you're going through suffering as a child of God. Why does God allow you to suffer? Number one, God allows us to experience suffering so that we can follow the example of Christ. We can follow the example of Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. I mean, if somebody has suffered for you and the example is that you should follow his steps, what do you think the example is? It is to suffer. So the first reason why you will suffer, simply because you are following the example of Christ. A man who committed no sin, yet he died like a criminal. You are following the example of Christ. You are following the example of Christ. So if you're going to follow the example of Christ, you have to know something about Christ. Christ was rejected. And if you're going to follow the example of Christ in suffering, if he was rejected, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be rejected, brother. It's clear. Jesus found himself on the cross. Eh? He looked on the right. There's a thief. He looks on the left. Another thief. He looked down the cross. The Roman soldiers that are discussing about his clothes. Wow. Wow. He is not with the people he's used to. All the life of Jesus, he's with his disciples. He's with people who love him. But here is Jesus with thieves. Can I tell you something? If you follow the example of Christ, at a certain stage, you're going to feel as if your life is being degraded. Because the life of Jesus became degraded. He went from that great man he was to becoming a man in the company of thieves. And many a times, when you sense that your life is being degraded, you start fighting it. You want to keep the standard. You want to remain on top. Maybe before you came to Christ, you used to move with the big boys. Now you came to Christ, when you look around, it's small boys all around you. You feel, no. I need to up my game. To where? God wants to degrade you because he degraded his son. But you are struggling with it. You want to keep lifting the standards. You want to remain this high person. God said, no, you got to go down first. You got to go down. Because I want you to follow the example of my son. I degraded him. And the Bible says because God degraded him, finally in the book of Philippians 2, now God has highly exalted him and gave him a name that is high above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Why do you think God gave him such a name? Because first God took him down. Whenever God is taking you down, it's not to keep you down. Is to lift you up. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. Jesus experienced betrayal. Judas betrayed him. If you and I are going to follow the example of Jesus, you need to know people will betray you, brother. People you put their trust on will let you down. People will betray your trust. People will take advantage of your generosity. It will happen to you. Because it happened to Jesus. People abandoned Jesus. Jesus was falsely accused. Don't be surprised when these things are happening to you. Jesus was misrepresented. People came and gave false testimonies about him. Which is also called criticism. I've been criticized left, right, and center. I mean, if I was not a pastor, I don't think I was going to be criticized like that. If you follow Jesus, people will talk about you. People will criticize you. People will have something to say about you all day long. Because you're following Jesus. Don't let that bother you much. Jesus experienced excruciating pain in the hands of Roman soldiers. Psychological torment. He saw the death coming. The horrors of the crucifixion. He went through all of that. You might not be as crucified as he was, but your flesh will be crucified. You will feel something. Number two, God allows us to experience suffering because suffering brings us closer to Christ. Suffering brings us closer to Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Praise the Lord. You need to notice something. People who have been through certain things usually get along, as to compare to people who haven't been through the same things. A woman who gave birth usually gets along with another woman who gave birth, as to compare to her getting along with a woman who never gave birth. Because she experienced the suffering of giving birth, it is easy for her to relate with another sufferer of the same kind. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say to you? So when you haven't gone through something, it is not easy for you to relate with somebody who went through it. It is not easy. So that's why the more you experience pain there and there, it helps you appreciate what Jesus did. Like, you start relating better with Jesus. You start understanding Jesus. Hallelujah. Number three, God allows us to experience suffering because suffering makes us obedient. Hebrews 5 verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You will agree with me that Jonah was never going to go to Nineveh where God wanted him to go, except he went through the belly of the fish. That suffering of going through that pain, when now God appears to Jonah in Jonah 3 verse 1, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Why the second time? Because the first time it came, he didn't listen. He didn't obey. It comes a second time to him saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Thank God for that. But the first time God spoke to Jonah, Jonah didn't go to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah went to Tarshish. It took a suffering of 3 days in the belly of the fish before he could obey. So sometimes, when God is allowing you to go through a suffering, ask your question. The question you should ask is, what is God trying to get me to say yes to obey? Now, don't get me wrong. It is not always the case that when people go through suffering, they become obedient. Some people become staunch rebels after this. Like, I mean, it is even an opportunity. So you must understand, the heat melts the butter, but it hardens the clay. The same heat. So you find out that one person, the thing melts him. He becomes more flexible. The other one, the more they hit, the harder they get. Because the pain doesn't make them better. It makes them bitter. Refuse to allow that to be your story. Number four, God allows us to experience suffering because suffering makes us perfect. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2 verse 10, for if it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Perfect through sufferings. The word perfect here means complete. Complete. Whole. Complete. Yeah, well, you get it right. You are not complete until you've suffered something. You are not complete. I assure you of that. Be very careful of these kids that have never gone through anything bad. Do you understand? These kids that they go to car, to go to school in a Rolls Royce. They are sitting in one chair in the class. There's only 10 of them in the class, or 5. I mean, the bedroom is as big as your whole house. We thank God for that. But you need, if that child doesn't experience some dose of suffering, that child will be dangerous. It will be a spoiled brat. That's what we end up having. A person that hasn't gone through any problem is dangerous. A beloved that doesn't know pain is dangerous. Very dangerous. We are complete through pain and suffering. That's why God allows us to go through it, because it completes you. A person that is gone, that has gone through things differently. Do you understand? They approach things differently. They are more compassionate. They are more matured compared to a person that, I mean, the way they will talk to you, you will be shocked. They don't know. They don't know those things. They don't know who is elder, who is small. Everybody is the same for them. The boy is 5 years old. He's talking to a 55 or a 75-year-old as if it was his mate. Five, God allows us to experience suffering because suffering makes us humble. Amen. Amen. Yes. It makes you humble. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. And you shall remember the Lord your God. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. God took you through the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of suffering. God took us through the wilderness to humble us. Oh, yes. I assure you, when you come out of some wildernesses, you are humble. The wildernesses of not having food as often as you wish. The wildernesses of not having a beloved as much as you wish. The wilderness of not having money as often as you wish. By the time the money finds you very stable. You know, the money is there, but you are not bothered much. You are humble now. Humility is so important because Satan has sown the seed of pride in us as humans. Most humans are proud. So anything that can make you humble is a gift from God to you. Don't throw it away. Cherish it. Are you with me? As we close, number six, God allows us to experience suffering because suffering tests us. It reveals what is in you. Sometimes you don't know what is in you. Through the suffering, you get to discover who you are. Lastly, God allows us to experience suffering because of the glory that will follow the suffering. Hallelujah. That is the last one. To be honest, I enjoy this one a lot because, you know, it brings more perspective to why we go through what we go through. Most of the time, you don't understand until you reach the end of the road. Then when you turn back, you say, wow. So this was what it was all about. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the suffering is not comparable to the glory. No matter how terrible your life is right now, no matter how suffering, no matter the level of suffering you are going through, don't compare it. You see, like a mother carries a child for 9 months, push the child in a lot of pain. As soon as the child is born, she forgets all the suffering, she forgets all the pain, she forgets all the difficulty. Everything that matters is this glory. Is this glory. It makes it all worthwhile. And can I tell you something? Within 3-5 days, all the pain disappears. But this glory keeps growing. Keeps growing. Doesn't stop growing. By the end of a year, she forgets that she was ever pregnant. But the glory keeps growing. Doesn't stop. And that's what is going to happen to you. The suffering will be done away with, but the glory will continue. You will go from glory to glory to glory to glory. It will become more and more glorious. And that's why you should not run out of the suffering. You should let God do it. You should allow. Don't pull yourself out of it. It's working something greater. My last verse for today, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the afflictions are for a moment, the glory is eternal. Now you need to think about it. Which one is better? Light afflictions, eternal glory? God is faithful. I hope that by these simple words, I have helped you understand why, as a believer, you do go through sufferings there and there. Not because you've done something wrong, but because you are a child of God. And because you are following the footsteps of Jesus. Even furthermore, because God has something more glorious to bring in your life, and He doesn't want the glory to come and make you proud. So like Paul, God gave me this thorn in the flesh to prevent me from becoming proud so that I can balance myself. Whenever I want to go too high, the thing just comes and reminds me, hey, by the way, you are still here. Hey, then you just, you know what? You just collect yourself back again. You are quiet. And as painful as it is, it helps you stay in the right path. If you don't believe me, just look around and see people that don't have that little thorn in the flesh. When they start going off, they go off all the way to hell. And you know, when they end up in hell, they wish they had maybe 10 thorns in their flesh. Because now it's worse. Thank God for the thorn in the flesh. Thank God for that little suffering that God is using to keep me balanced. To help me to not become conceited. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray this morning. I want to pray for you that God will really reach out to your heart today. And if you've been enlightened by this, would you realize that rather than complaining about your suffering, you should thank God for it. Even when you don't know what it is working, sooner or later, you will see what it was working. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for allowing us to go sometimes through some wildernesses. The Bible says, and the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. By the time Jesus returned from the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Father, thank you that our journey in the wilderness is never to demote us, is never to destroy us, is rather to empower us and cause us to return in a greater dimension of glory. Can you open your mouth and start thanking God this morning? Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray right now. Korama shandere makandara mandere ba. Ipreza kantora mashandere mandora magandere mashandere mandere be. Oh, come on, thank him this morning for that glory that is coming. Don't focus on the suffering. Don't focus on the suffering this morning, because I can assure you there's a greater glory that is coming at the end of this tunnel. You will not die in the tunnel. You will not stay in the tunnel. The glory of God will meet you and you will look back and say, Lord, I thank you for these days of wilderness. Lord, I thank you for these days of humility, for these days of pain, for these days of rejection, for these days of sorrow. All that I went through turn me into this gem that I am now. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are taking us like gold. We are being purified 7 times. You are allowing us to go through the fire. It will not burn us, and the waters will not submerge us, but will come purer than gold. When it's all said and done, we will be more expensive. We will become more valuable, because the fire is not to destroy. The fire is to purify. Thank you, Lord, for using the fire to purify me, to transform me. Oh, yes, Jesus. Somebody reach out to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, matimelema lokalama sibre kate paramenda. Maybe you are experiencing suffering in your ministry. God is reaching out to you this morning, and he's strengthening your heart. He's strengthening your heart, because there's a glory in that suffering. Maybe you are experiencing suffering in your marriage, suffering in your finances, suffering in your personal life, suffering in raising your children, suffering even in finding a job or staying in a job. I don't know where you are experiencing the suffering, but if you can put your trust in God, God will surely turn your darkness into light and your sorrow into joy. Thank you, Father, that you are refining us and making us pure as gold. I give you praise, Lord. This morning, before I close, I want to pray for somebody that is watching or listening to me. You want to give your heart to Jesus today. You want to surrender your life to Christ today, because we have learned that there is a greater glory that is coming at the end of this suffering as being as a Christian. Don't focus on the fact that, hey, if I become a Christian, I will suffer. Rather focus on the fact, if I become a Christian, there will be a greater glory at the end of the day. And I want us to be all partakers of that glory that is coming. That glory that will be all worthwhile. When you look at the glory, the Bible says the light afflictions of this present day are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a glory that God is going to reveal in you. In you. Yeah, yes, I'm talking about you. There's a glory that God wants to reveal in you. What does that mean? The glory is still locked up inside. So all this pressing, all this pressing, all this purifying is to remove all impurities, to allow that glory to be revealed. And that will cause you to become a very valuable human being. People will pay money to just come and hear you talk 5 words. Thank you, Jesus. You are saying, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Jesus to come and live in my heart. I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'd like to welcome you into this journey. It might look difficult, but the benefits in it far outweigh the challenges in it. Pastor, pray for me this morning. I want to be born again. I want to pray with you. At the count of two, raise your right hand and say, Pastor, I surrender my life to Jesus. I want to help you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Now you are already born again. This morning you want to recommit yourself. How often do we crawl off that altar of sacrifice? How often do we say it's too painful? It's too hard. It's too hot. I can't stay. Yet if you don't stay, the glory shall not be to its full manifestation. The Bible says creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. So there's something in every son that has to be manifested. And creation can recognize this once it becomes manifest. People start recognizing it. Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I feel I've been crawling off the altar of suffering too early. I trust that God will help me to stay here until the work He wants to do is done. Imagine chicken that keep jumping off the pot when you are trying to cook them. How will we eat it? It will be useless. It will be useless. It has to allow itself to be cooked. The spices must get deep in. The heat must get in it. It's not comfortable, but that is what it takes to become valuable and eatable. Thank you, Father. Now, at the count of three, I want to recommend my life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. You can raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Repeat these blessed words with me or after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, for strengthening me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.